Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Larimer, today joined by Marius Ruit. Let's get into the news of today. And, I think there were years ago where this one would have imagined this to be one of the biggest stories in the country, but, it was on our radar yesterday, but we didn't actually decide to cover it because there were more important things to talk about, and that is that Jacob Zuma has been kicked out of the ANC. Now, you may think to yourself, well, didn't he lead a breakaway party that then brought the ANC below 50% across the country? And yes, he did, but apparently the ANC decided that it was going to take its time in making sure that he was expelled from the party. So he was suspended as a member of the ANC back in January. And initially the ANC attempted to hold a hearing about whether he was guilty of misconduct and needed to be kicked out of the ANC. That was going to be in person, and then due to fears of clashes between ANC and Zuma supporters, that was postponed and moved online. Also, it was moved behind closed doors, which is counter to what Zuma wanted. Zuma wanted it to be public, presumably to make a statement about the whole thing. Anyway, in a leaked document that came out, I think it was over the weekend, it is found that the ANC has recommended his expulsion from the party. And that he has been fired by the National Disciplinary Committee, who received a concurrence from everyone on that committee. The MK party has expressed that it was shocked and dismayed about this finding. Zuma apparently has 21 days to appeal the decision. Going by Jacob Zuma's previous pattern of how he deals with these sort of things, we'll wait till 20 days have passed and then appeal, I suspect. So this was welcomed by several pieces of the ANC. The ANC Veterans League president, Snoki Zikalala, said that this is a good thing, saying if he wants to appeal, he should be allowed to. That is his prerogative. We are happy that it's over and done. It has been confusing that you belong to the MK party and belong to the ANC. This should have been done earlier. He was charged in February. This took too long. It led to us losing the election. The ANC Youth League president said, we have said this before. We have called on the ANC to act on Zuma early. It has been confusing society that he is ANC when he is not. We stand by our view that this took too long because the damage caused by Zuma has affected the ANC and where it is now. And then he said that the ANC needs to embark on a campaign to inform people that Zuma is no longer a member. I think some ways it's a bit late for that. But so my first question to you, Marius, is why do you think the ANC took so long to expel him? I reckon that if this was any other political party, if this was the DA in particular, on the moment of his announcement of the formation of the MK party, they would have expelled him. But the ANC seemed to take its time here. What are your thoughts?
I'm not sure if it's maybe because of President Ramaphosa's dislike of conflict. But there's... It's bonkers that it took so long. It took whatever. I mean, he launched MK in December last year. There have been rumors of him being involved with it before that. I think the most interesting thing here is the MK party's reaction, saying this is immoral and how could the ANC do that and so on. Jacob Zuma founded a different... He's the leader of another political party. He helped to bring the ANC under 50%. I mean, there was no other outcome except to expel Jacob Zuma from the ANC. So it's also not as if Jacob Zuma himself is somebody who's been too worried about doing things the right way and about institutions and what have you. So I do find this pearl clutching by the MK party quite funny. It remains to be seen what's going to happen now. The MK party is obviously something we've been talking a lot about on the show. Yeah, it doesn't seem that, still from what I've seen, doesn't seem to have built up too many institutions. Seems still broadly to be a personal vehicle for Jacob Zuma and his allies or cronies, whichever word you want to use for them, and to protect former president from going to jail or facing the consequences of his actions. And nothing that's happened yet has made me think it's anything but still. And, I don't think you can discount the MK party falling apart completely before maybe even 2026, then 2029.
Yeah, I think that remains one of the most important questions as to whether that party can hold together. And it's a genuine question. We don't know. It could, it might not. And regardless, you know, depending on which way that question is answered, will have big impacts on the country. It is still worth noting, however, and I've made this point before, but it's worth repeating, that MK has only won one by-election so far in the whole country. And it's in every by-election, I believe, that it stood in, it's pretty much underperformed what it got in the national election, which does make one wonder whether people are actually voting for MK or for Zuma. And I suspect people are voting for Zuma. And so when Zuma's not on the ballot, and he might be in a local government election, presumably, MK is going to struggle a little bit, even in KZN. I don't know. What do you think of that?
And that's also the thing. It's clearly not necessarily just a KwaZulu-Natal party. It's but definitely a Zulu party. If you look at maps that show you proportions of Zulu speakers across South Africa, where they are highest, it maps almost exactly with where MK did well. So it's all quite telling.
Mm. And a party that's very confined in that way is going to find it difficult to, you know, sort of enhance itself. It's kind of the trap that the IFP has been stuck in for a long time in the country. So it's been identified as a Zulu party. Anyway, let us move on to our next story. And we're going to be talking a little bit in the next two stories about developments in various places overseas. One of which is some comments made by the ruling party of Namibia, SWAPO. SWAPO Politburo and Central Committee member has said that SWAPO will rule Namibia forever and there will never, ever be a government of national unity there like in South Africa. He said, don't get excited for things happening somewhere saying it will happen here. Never. It will never happen. Talking about a government of national unity. He then went on to say that victory is near, comrades, but only if you register to vote and you bring victory for SWAPO. He then went on to talk about how there's no need for anything like political violence because SWAPO was so confident in its superiority and victory, and that it was, he said, let us campaign aggressively, but peacefully and respectfully. We are not desperate, just as SWAPO has the right not to be insulted, not to be abused. Brothers and sisters and other political movements also have those rights. Let us compete in peace and unity. And this is an interesting question about the state of Namibia. There is speculation that SWAPO might not be able to hold onto its control of the country in the upcoming Namibian elections. I think it is very interesting to see, once again, the sort of impact that South Africa has on some of our neighbors, that the government of national unity here has sparked, it seems like, similar thoughts and considerations in our neighbors. Maurice, what do you make of these comments?
I think it's up there with Jacob Zuma saying that the ANC will be in charge until Jesus comes, and word like hubris comes to mind. Yeah, but I was in Namibia a week before our elections, and what Namibians were telling me there is that if we did get a result as we did in the end, where the ANC did pretty badly, that could kind of galvanize opposition political parties and opposition voters in Namibia. And something that's quite interesting also in Namibia, they vote directly for their president. So in the last election there, the SWAPO candidate, it was Hage Geingob, I think his name was, he got 56% of the votes. This was down from 80% he'd got in 2014. And the guy who did very well was a guy called Panduleni Itula, who ran as an independent candidate. And he wasn't, he's actually a dentist by profession, hadn't never been a cabinet minister or anything like that, never been very high up in SWAPO or anything. But he got nearly 30% of the votes, and he was running as an independent with no institutional backing and so on. And SWAPO also in the parallel parliamentary election went from 80% of the vote to 65%. So what Namibians are saying is it could quite possibly happen that and Panduleni Tula is running again in Namibian election later this year, and he set up a political party now, this thing called Independent Patriots for Change. And there's a lot of speculation in Namibia that he could actually win the presidential race, while SWAPO could still be the single biggest party or even still get a majority in parliament. So it's all quite interesting in Namibia. There are some, neither of the candidates for SWAPO or for Panduleni Tulaga, they got a lot of questions about them. The SWAPO candidate, a lady called Nitumba Nandi Ndaitwa, apparently she's got some pretty backwards ideas about things. She's apparently not completely terrible, but she's not very exciting or what have you. And while compared to Tula, is very apparently very energetic guy, is very charismatic. But as I said, he's a dentist by trade, and one of the Namibians told me, you know, he's maybe you wouldn't mind voting for him as president, but you wouldn't let him work on your teeth. So it tells you maybe about the type of guy he is. So, but yeah, it's I think what happened in South Africa is going to definitely galvanize Namibians and so on. And I think what this Namibian guy was saying, that there'll never be a GNU there. It's famous last words comes to mind. And Namibia's also got a very similar electoral system to South Africa, proportional representation. So it actually lends itself to multi-party and coalition governments. And it's funny, they also had local government elections in 2020 when SWAPO also did pretty badly. And that's what we've seen in South Africa, where the ANC first started doing quite badly in local government elections, and now got this bloody nose on 29th of May in South Africa. So I think Namibia is definitely a very interesting place to watch. It's if anybody follows it, it's there's been big oil discoveries there, which could change the country quite a lot. But they follow South Africa in many, many ways. They've got a lot of the same bad ideas being pushed there. Things such as BEE and expropriation without compensation.
They've even got their own nuances. EFF.
Exactly. Yeah. Luckily for them, don't do nearly as well as our EFF. They still have somebody like that there. So yeah, it's definitely a place to watch. As I say, they follow South Africa a lot in terms of their policy and so on, but they also have some better ideas than we do. So yeah, it's going to be quite interesting there, I think. And I think the election's scheduled for towards the end of November. So I think yeah, anybody who's interested in Southern African politics is definitely one to look out for there.
Yeah, no, very interesting times, and it does seem like our fates are very closely tied together. So it'll be very interesting to see whether SWAPO does in fact lose their majority. I do see they do seem to have a little bit of the same problem that South Africa has, which is, you know, a very split opposition. With you know, you've got the largest opposition party only getting about 16% of the vote in the last parliamentary election. So I wonder if Itula's you know, entry will consolidate the opposition somewhat or expand it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, but it tells you that Itula, I mean, without a political party, got 30% as president. So I'm sure he's going to have some momentum behind him. But yeah. And also one other problem is that there's no real polling in Namibia. So a lot of this is just speculation. So, but I do believe that
they are
some polling before the election. Yeah, it's large, just basically guessing on our part.
Yeah, well, I think the, you know, we've actually didn't have amazing polling. You know, we had like maybe Ipsos doing a poll like before elections beforehand. And now I thought that the Social Research Foundation did some really great stuff before the last election, which is very useful and enlightening and interesting to read about. I was very happy that we had that addition. And I hope that South Africa and indeed Namibia will have more polling in future elections. All right. Let's move now across the Atlantic Ocean to Venezuela, which had a election in the country. This was, I think, widely assumed that it was going to be have interference and not be fully free and democratic. The government of Nicolas Maduro has been, shall we say, quite heavy-handed. He is a dictator in effect in that country. And to be honest, I was actually shocked to some degree that the opposition was even able to sort of run in this election. Yet the opposition did run, and the results have been coming in, but to say they're contested is an understatement. The official electoral commission there in the government has declared that Nicolas Maduro is the winner of the election with 51%, but independent observers, the opposition, and various other groups have condemned the electoral results as not actually reflecting the votes cast on the day. The opposition says that it has voting tally proof that it in fact won the election. They say they've managed to gather about 70% of the electoral results so far, and they reckon that their candidate got twice as many votes as Nicolas Maduro. In response to the declaration of victory by Maduro, there have been major protests across the country. There's accusations already that either government-affiliated paramilitaries or police and army units have actually used some live ammunition on some of these crowds. There's definitely already been some clashes, major arrests. Protesters are chanting things like, and this is translated from Spanish, obviously, "I don't want gold, I don't want government food aid, I want Nicolas Maduro to leave, which I presume rhymes better in Spanish. The protesters have also been tearing down statues representing Maduro's predecessor and basically his political mentor, Hugo Chavez. There are statues of him all over the country. And a number of foreign countries, the United States, many other South American and Central American countries have criticized the results of this election. It looks like relations have already been broken off with a number of elections. Uruguay said that its government will not recognize Maduro as the winner. Peru's government has ordered Venezuelan diplomats in Peru to leave within 72 hours, citing serious and arbitrary decisions made today by the Venezuelan regime. And I believe also, I think El Salvador has criticized the results as well. Even some of Venezuela's allies in the South American left, places like Brazil, who are, you know, not exactly friends with the Venezuelan government, but are at least sort of warm towards them, have expressed some concerns about how the election results have been handled. The United States, of course, has also condemned the election results. So my question to you, Marius, obviously it's way too early to say, but is the dictatorship of Maduro going to fall? Or do you think they're going to hold on? I am not particularly enthusiastic when I see this already extremely aggressive and violent response by the state towards this the protests. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit too early to say, I think. Maduro and Chavez before him have been in power for quite a long time now, I think 30-odd years or 25 years or so. And we've seen, across the border in Limpopo, we can see what happens when a very authoritarian party won't let go of power. We've had ZANU-PF in charge in Zimbabwe since 1980, and they've been excessively authoritarian since about 2000. They're still there, and there's no... it doesn't really look like they'll be leaving anytime soon. But if there is pressure from the rest of the region, there could be, maybe there will be, we'll start seeing pressure on Maduro and his allies to start stepping down. I think apart from Cuba, they don't really have any actual allies left in the region. So it'll be something to watch out for.
I also think Russia's been quite supportive of them as well.
But I mean, in the area.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, Javier Milei, who's basically the polar opposite of Maduro, has already said some crazy things like the Venezuelan military should overthrow Maduro. So maybe we'll see a kind of war in South America. It's probably unlikely, but something to look out for.
I believe that there were some opposition members actually hiding inside the Argentinian embassy in Venezuela, and that there's been speculation that the Venezuelan police may enter that embassy without permission to
there'll be a bit of an international incident, I think.
Indeed, yeah.
And I think this is a very good example of that saying that you can vote your way into socialism, but you've got to shoot your way out. I mean, don't forget that Chavez at first came to power in a normal democratic election and then started subverting how things work and that. And just finally, it just even shows that... how well we did actually in May. In many other places, if the governing party had done as badly as the ANC did, they would have cooked the books, they would have, you know, lied and done all kinds of things. Looking at Zimbabwe again, you can see what happened when ZANU-PF started losing support there at first. They didn't accept the result, they didn't, start thinking about how they can reform. They just basically went into the streets and started cracking heads and so on. And we didn't see that yet. And, you know, it's one thing we shouldn't applaud a dog for barking, and in a democracy, a governing party should be accepting results and so on. But it's also, we do have to give credit where it's due. And the ANC has shown it's much more mature and much more accepting of democratic outcomes and norms than a lot of parties that even consider allies. Like, I can't remember the name of the Venezuelan governing party, but the ANC government considers Venezuela as kind of a fraternal ally in the struggle against colonialism and so on. It's always been very friendly with ZANU-PF. So I think it's with the way the ANC acted on the 29th of May, I think we do have to say that's definitely a feather in its cap and in South Africa's as a whole.
Definitely. Democracy is a very precious thing, and it could have been a lot worse. I think they are the United Socialist Party of Venezuela
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
I think that's the official name of the governing party of Venezuela. But just to reiterate, Maduro has presided over an enormous economic collapse in that country. Somewhere around maybe a third of Venezuela's entire population has left the country, for the United States, for Peru, for Colombia next door, and for other countries all across the world. And the country's relations with many of its neighbors have essentially collapsed. In fact, they've now, you know, been severed with Peru and with Uruguay, it seems. So he, you know, his party has really smashed that country apart in a way that I don't think it's suffered before, even though Venezuela doesn't have a great history of governance.
And don't forget, Uruguay and Peru are both kind of leftish leaning countries as well. So it shows you that they are also being quite harsh against Venezuela. I think maybe the tide's turning in the region.
Hopefully, and hopefully the Maduro regime will fall. But I think it's definitely too early to say about that. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. We hope you found the show interesting, and we will be back tomorrow with the Daily Friend Wrap. Cheers, everyone.
The Daily Friend Show and the Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.